Good evening. And now, the Inspirational Quarterly.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Inspirational Quarterly, a podcast dedicated to reading, reviewing, and discussing the 2006 novel StarCraft Ghost Nova by USA Today bestselling author Keith R.A. DeCandido. I'm your host, Davey Reedon, and my guest today on this episode is someone who is actually something of an expert in the book StarCraft Ghost Nova. She has read 290 pages of it, if you can believe. She also hosts her own podcast devoted to reading and reviewing and discussing StarCraft Ghost Nova. Please welcome to the podcast, Kara Ellison.
Hello. Hello, Kara. It's lovely to be here.
I hear you're something of an aficionado of StarCraft Ghost Nova. Would you say that's correct?
I mean, I would say I'm among the top two people in the world who probably top three people in the world who know the most about this book.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting. Do you have competitions with these other elite members as to StarCraft knowledge or...
Well, one of them is a Vancouver-based game developer, and the other one wrote the book, so
okay.
That's my
All
competition.
Right. I see, yeah. Well, I don't know about the book, about the guy who wrote the book, but this Vancouver guy sounds like a stiff competition.
Formidable.
Yeah, right. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again. Thank you for letting us take our little detour into the world of artificial intelligence last time. I had a good time. It actually occurred to me after we finished recording that, given that we made Malcolm the focal point of our AI investigations, I couldn't shake this feeling that the and this goes to the bigger, metaphysical nature of AI, I guess, but I couldn't help shake a feeling that every time we reran the simulation with a different theme, that almost like the AI was peering into an alternate universe of Malcolm. And the common thread between all these universes being that a detective named Malcolm is looking for a woman named Nova, right? A sort of like Enter the Spider-Verse-esque kind of thing where they're all fundamentally motivated by the same ideals. There's just different surface level expression of those ideals, right?
Yeah. Or different genre constructs for it.
But there's always a Malcolm, there's always a Nova, there's always a Fagin, there's always a Moron Factory. It's like there's these constants.
I was expecting a bunch of our listeners to like go into an AI and see if they could come up with something that was absolutely incredibly weird.
I did go back to the AI briefly after we finished. I didn't go into Malcolm, but I was curious about Shitty Billy, because we never got the magic of Christmas to transform Shitty Billy into a good person, right?
Right.
So I was like sort of curious, is it possible to turn Shitty Billy into a good person through the power of Christmas? I ran several versions of the simulation trying to get Shitty Billy to turn into a good person through the magic of Christmas, and the system resisted. Like, it resisted hard the idea of Shitty Billy reforming. Here's the closest. I'll read you an excerpt of this, because this is the closest that I got. In this version of it, Shitty Billy works, gets fired from his job for being a bad person, and then goes home and admits to his wife that he cheated on her. So that's like That's like the first couple paragraphs of this thing. And then his wife forgives him for cheating on her. And then immediately after that, it says, Shitty Billy's life changed forever. Well, actually, I'll read you this. I need to be a better husband, said Shitty Billy, so I want you to forgive me for cheating on you. His wife stared at him. You cheated on me? I did, admitted Shitty Billy. I fucked around on you with a girl named Sarah, but I'm really sorry for it. I promise never to cheat on you again. Okay, said his wife. I guess that's fine. I forgive you. Thank you, baby, said Shitty Billy. I'm glad, said his wife. Now let's go fuck. They made love.
That is incredible.
Shitty Billy's, this is literally what the next thing in the thing. Shitty Billy's life changed forever. He became a wonderful father and husband. He gave more money to charity than anyone else in town. He didn't care about the tax cut. This is from the job that he quit earlier, because he saw the value in giving to others. He spent his nights working on a book, which he titled How to Be a Good Person in Just 5 Easy Steps. He wrote the book in 5 easy steps.
Okay.
The first step was to stop being a terrible person. Step 2 was to be a good person. Step 3 was to give yourself a raise. Step 4 was to help others who are less fortunate. And step 5 was to be happy. Everyone should have a chance to be happy, said Shitty Billy, even people who aren't good people. Shitty Billy continued to live a happy life. He lived happily ever after.
So that's the only one in which like he transformed.
Yeah, that was the only one where he got any better. And this is literally one where he gets fired from his job and then cheats on his wife. So, you know, I guess he... And I don't know how Christmas works into this. This is Christmas themed. And I did set it up as taking place on Christmas Eve, but...
Do you think the AI understands the concept of, like, cause and effect?
Well, it definitely remembers certain things. Like, it references certain things later in the work that happened earlier, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is if that's the only one that had, like, a transformation, like, at the end, maybe the AI actually really struggles to understand what a third act is, right? Like,
yeah,
the third act right. is when something dramatically changes the course of the story.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes it's halfway through, right? It's like halfway through is the turning point.
Although this one did have an actual ending. Most of the AI stories don't end. They just sort of ramble and go on forever. So this one decided, no, he lived happily ever after, right?
Well, didn't it have it had a kind of It's a Wonderful Life, right? It's like a facsimile of that kind of, right?
Yeah. I love the idea that Shitty Billy goes through a sort of an alternate version of It's a Wonderful Life where he dies, and then an angel shows him how amazing the town is now that he's gone.
Right. That would be really good.
That would be great. And like that gets him to change.
Well, no, because that's what happened in Scrooge.
Oh, I guess. Wait, so Christmas Carol is just the inverse of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, like they're inverse of each other, basically.
People have already figured this out, right? We're not...
Yeah, I think this isn't a new thought. I think also people compare It's a Wonderful Life to, like, Job in the Bible. You know, the guy that gets a bunch of shit thrown at him, and he's still like, no, God is awesome. I'll just, like, you know, carry on as normal. Mm-hmm. And God never rewards him, and then, you know... I don't know. I think the only thing that Job gets to say at the end of it is, I told you so, when he's dead.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I do feel like if Shitty Billy went through the events of It's a Wonderful Life, you know, It's a Wonderful Life is you're already a good person. You just need to realize it. And Christmas Carol is, you're a shitty person, so stop, right? And you have to know that you're the primary element of change is that you have to know that you're in A Christmas Carol and not It's a Wonderful Life, right?
That is true, yeah. You'd have to see the signs.
Yes, yes. If Shitty Billy thinks he's in It's a Wonderful Life, that's bad, right?
Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario, is that he misinterprets which Christmas movie he's in. He's the protagonist of.
Yeah, and right? Like, you wouldn't want to be in Jingle All the Way. Imagine if you ended up in that one.
Imagine if these all segue into each other. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Jingle All the Way, like, it segues into It's a Christmas Carol, where at the end he realizes what a terrible human being he is. And he has to be convinced to change his ways.
Well, there are two other Christmas movies I think actually literally lead into each other, but they're supposedly in different universes. So my theory is that Home Alone is just a younger John McClane.
Oh.
Who then...
Oh.
And they're both Christmas movies, and they're both about, like, you know, crawling around in crawl spaces and, like, trying to be smart, and, like, you know, there's, like, invaders to the building. You know, come on, they're clearly the same universe.
Kara, have you like shared this idea before publicly, or is this?
I don't know. I don't think.
Is this a breaking? Piece of cultural, is this like a cultural breakthrough we're making here?
This is me slicing out a piece of Kara Ellison's brain and just offering it to you, the listeners of this podcast, as an exclusive. This is the theory I've always had, that Home Alone is young John McClane. But that didn't stop them from proposing making a young John McClane movie that sounded like the worst idea I've ever heard of.
So. But here's the thing, and I realize that we are now returning to our shared cinematic universe, except Christmas edition for some reason.
I don't know why we're at Christmas. We're way past Christmas.
In April, sure, why not? But Home Alone is followed. If Home Alone is followed by Die Hard. There's like one follows the other, then A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life are like tandem works, right?
Yeah.
They're alternate timeline works.
Yeah, or like...
The AI operating on two different themes given the same starting point.
Yeah, like, actually, they do kind of seem like they're made by an AI, to be fair. I don't know if they're biased now because we've been watching an AI do Christmas stories, but now that I think about it, they do seem so similar in structure.
here's the thing, just to bring it back to the book a little bit, you could see Malcolm Kallerchian as the star of either It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Carol. And the AI could make both of those work, right?
Right.
Like he has enough leeway. He's just anti-hero, right? He's anti-hero. He could be Die Hard as well. He could be Home Alone. Can you imagine Home Alone starring Malcolm Kallerchian?
As 10-year-old Kevin? He would set off his own mousetrap experiments. Like he would bring the entire house down on himself. He would accidentally blow himself up.
What if that's his like origin story of how he became like a hard-boiled detective type? He was a Home Alone kid, and invaders broke in and fucked with his shit, and he taught him. It hardened him into a ruthless detective.
Oh my god.
Can I, it's the idea that there are an infinite number of Malcolms all living in a multiverse, if you will, that there's an infinite number of them all living out their lives in just slightly different ways than one another, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They've
I like that
all
idea.
Got like slightly weird smiles.
Well, their smiles are all off-putting in different ways
yeah.
for each one.
Yeah.
Right. each one, the effect of the smile is slightly, you know, it's just a little like, oh, this one makes you want to vomit. And this one, you know, makes your feet hurt or whatever. I don't know.
Have you seen Spider-Man Into the Multiverse?
I have seen Spider-Man
Into
the Spider-Verse
movie, but my favorite character is Nick Cage's noir style.
He's just Malcolm. He's Malcolm.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, that's Malcolm. That's him.
That's Malcolm.
That's
yeah.
who he is.
Okay.
He should
imagine...
be played by Nick Cage.
All right. Kara, let's talk. Let's have a real conversation for a minute, okay? Imagine Nick Cage's character, Nick Cage's hard-boiled Spider-Man character as the star of Home Alone. As Kevin McAllister. Imagine it's the same movie, except that version of Nick Cage. Imagine a shot-for-shot remake of Home Alone with Nick Cage as Kevin McAllister.
Like a little sneaky Kevin McAllister.
Like a grown ass man. Like a grown ass man that everyone treats like a 10-year-old boy.
I just realized, like, McAllister and McClane, like, they're both Scottish families. Like, this can't be coincidence.
He had to change his name slightly to get away from the Wet Bandits.
Yes.
Right?
Because then they would pursue him across America, obviously.
Yeah, he had to move. Wait, no, he's not from L. Like, John McClane isn't from L.A.
No, he's a New York cop.
He's a New York cop. Okay. Oh, and Home Alone 2, they go to New York.
New York. But Kevin McAllister grew up in Chicago, which is not still the East Coast.
No, he grows up in Chicago, but in Home Alone 2, they go to New York, and then they forget him on the flight back. I don't think this is what actually happens in the movie.
Just
but
like
I'm saying,
he likes New York that much.
Here's what it is: the first time his family abandons him is Home Alone 1. The second time his family abandons him is Home Alone 2. But the third time they abandon him is when they're flying back from New York, and then he's like, "Fuck these people! I just gotta survive." Right? I gotta learn to make it in this world. And that's when he becomes the hardened John McClane and stays in New York and becomes a fucking dirty ass cop man, you know, doing whatever it takes to serve justice.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
And he has to change his name.
Yeah, changes his name because the Wet Bandits will come after him because they know he's in New York. Right. But one day he hopes to get them. One day he hopes to get them back.
But it's like, it's why he became a cop, right? Because that really incompetent cop in Home Alone 1 is the start of like a series of incompetent cops that he encounters, right? And so, you know, he's like, I'm going to become a cop and like become like, you know, a better cop than any of these assholes who don't like turn up or even care about a small child or who, you know, it takes a small child to be able to arrest the Wet Bandits. So, you know, you can imagine how little Kevin McAllister thinks of cops.
Right. And not just that. I mean, that there's that, but then there's also the fact that, like, wow, criminals like the Wet Bandits are really stupid. You know,
he's like, this is the easiest job ever.
Yeah, right. And then he fucking fights Hans, and then it's like, oh shit, a criminal who's actually intelligent. You know,
he's
I have
not
to
really
actually
that
put
intelligent.
My brain. To
he
these.
Just has a German accent.
What's the difference? I mean, come on.
He's Alan Rickman. I guess Alan Rickman he's always Alan sounds Rickman. Really smart. Apart from when he's like, what is it? The Sheriff of Nottingham or whatever. He's just a kind of crazy man there. He's just off the chain. But yeah.
I love your theory. And I don't know how it ties into StarCraft Ghost Nova.
I don't know either, but like it's a gift to the listeners. That is my has been in my brain for years.
We have about 15 pages to make this connection, just to somehow weave it in. We have a brief amount of time, but if anyone can do it, you and I can. I believe in us.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Find a way to work.
Yeah.
The McAllister McLean theory of media.
Life always finds a way, Davey.
Keith R.A. DeCandido always finds a way, that's for sure.
All right, so what page are we on, Davey?
We're on page 290. I already said this.
Okay. And where are you starting?
You're reading. I'm not reading. You're reading.
Oh, I'm reading. Okay, yeah. Then. In that case.
I read all the AI shit, so.
So let's start at the top.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. All this was a means to an end, specifically the end of her memories. Because she's training to get rid of her memories.
I like that we jump right into it and nobody will remember what it didn't matter is referring to.
I mean, we don't even need to know at this point because she's still in this like training camp, just doing training stuff, right? Because while she had mastered the art of closing off her mind to the thoughts around her, the thoughts in her head wouldn't go away that easily. Mommy and Daddy and Zeb and Eleftheria dying at the hands of the rebel group. Oh my god, that feels like 50 years ago, Davy.
I know, right? Yeah, it was
a long time ago.
But
it was only like
ago.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, right. Which is a lot longer than it really... Like, I think it would have felt like a long time ago, even if you were just normally reading the book.
Yeah. I can't believe we've just like... strung this out so much. Okay. Edward, Adam, Tish, McBain, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey?
Jeffrey?
Oh my god, Jeffrey did
Love
come
you,
back.
Jeffrey.
I can't believe Jeffrey actually came back. Like, there was no way I was thinking Jeffrey was going to come back, but he's right here.
Dang.
Wow. I love it.
It's good. Jeffrey, Paul, Walter, Derek, remember any of those guys?
Who's Derek? God, just the names of these terrorists. I love it.
Why are they called Walter and Derek? Like, they don't sound at all scary.
Here's what I like about this section of the names of the rebels she's killed. There's Edward, Adam, Jeffrey, Paul, Walter, Derek, and McBain. I love that McBain is one of them.
Well, like, they're all called, like, I mean, I think maybe, like, you know, I know that Keith is probably making the point of, like, you know, these are all, like, kind of, like, white people names who they're probably more likely to just, you know, get away with being dicks to everyone, right?
Well, Keith, when we talked with Keith, because I remember we asked him about this.
Yeah.
And the thing that he said was that these are just normal, regular people who get pulled into criminal life because they don't have other options.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have your Terrences and your Marcuses and whatever, right? They're just human beings living their life, which, you know, I get that. That makes sense. But McBain? McBain is not just living his life. McBain is out for blood. McBain was born to ride, baby.
Well, also,
you know what I mean?
He's also part of our popular Scottish name situation, right? So we've got McLean and, you know, McAllister,
McLean, McBain.
McBain.
Wait, hold on. It didn't take us two paragraphs to weave it in. Is this McBain the... How many name changes has Kevin gone through at this point before he is McBain terrorizing the building with Nova's family in it, right? Like,
yeah.
Could this be this? Could McBain be the same person as John McClane, but 500 years later?
I mean, you know,
for 500 years, he's been solving crime and using technology to cryogenically slow his aging.
He could have been like recreated, you know, via like DNA kind of construction. And, you know, it's like, you know, Dano DNA, but like McBain.
Yeah, John. Yeah, Exactly. Yeah, John McClane DNA. So,
yeah.
So someone
with,
so
with
maybe
a frog,
these...
and then yeah, the right, and then now McClane.
Right. So he's like a frog man. So he's like a frog version of John McClane.
Yeah.
A frog man
well,
version
like,
of
scary, right? Because like on land and in water. Can I get away from McVane?
This would be okay, so imagine alright, so what we have here is a rebel terrorist group who has cloned and resurrected John McClane by merging his DNA with frog DNA. In order to pull off the heist of the century, right? I don't remember what these terrorists were doing because that was so long ago, but it was probably to pull off the heist of the century, right?
Right.
And if you knew that John McClane's DNA, the legendary John McClane, and it's possible that John McClane went through other name changes after this, right? McBallister, you know? That's another possible one.
McRibbit,
that he went
ribbit,
through.
Ribbit, ribbit.
No, he's not the frog yet. He's not the frog yet. Because
okay.
they don't they because they because he dies, right? The McMahon, whatever. Well, okay, that's a different thing. That's a whole other thing, because that's the WWE guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not work him into it. But so John McClane is like this legendary warrior, and they clone him with frog DNA and bring him back in order to rob the Terra family penthouse. Right?
Yeah.
Then everything goes to shit.
Wait,
and
maybe McBain was actually like, he was infiltrating the terrorists in order to take them all down, but just catastrophically failed. Nova killed them all. Then I don't know.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say he was infiltrating the air, like he was in the air vents.
Like, but then that's not true, right? Because I remember that McBain was actually in the first chapter as
someone who was
like thinking or saying something violent. I can't remember. So maybe he
You're right. But you know what? I'll tell you something. Derek was definitely not in those early chapters. I feel pretty confident that Derek wasn't in those chapters. But you're right. McBain was. You're right. Okay, McBain was. But is he a frogman, though, is the question. Because if he is, that would be distracting from the mission, I imagine.
You think? Like, everyone would ask
well,
him frog
well,
questions, or like...
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, you're here on a terrorist mission. Everyone's supposed to stay focused. No one isn't going to be talking about the frogman who's on our team, right? Yeah. It would pose more of a liability to the focus of the mission, I would think. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they would just be like, he could just like print out some fact sheets or something, you know, like,
this is
like all about my frog DNA. If you had any question, you know, like I get a lot of questions about, you know, my like frog legs. So like,
yeah,
you know, I can breathe underwater, but not for very long, you know, like that kind of stuff.
What if the reason the mission failed is because someone on the team, not naming any names, but it was Jeffrey, just had to ask a question about the frog stuff, like in the middle of the fucking mission, right?
You know, that's so likely, because everything we know about Jeffrey, I don't know, I'm just saying, I think it's all Jeffrey's fault.
Yeah, no, Jeffrey, okay, because again, Jeffrey's just a normal guy, right? He's just a man on the street just trying to get by. He's just trying to make rent money, you know? And a normal man, an innocent man, would have to ask questions about the frog thing, right? You couldn't not. Like, I know he has the handout, right? He got the paper. He did read the handout. He's clear on the, you know, on all that. But he's like, hey, man, I'm putting my life on the line here. You know, just let me ask a couple questions about the frog thing, right? Do you have a long, how long is your tongue? You know? And then McBain goes, dude, that's on the fucking sheet. That's like the number one question I get asked. It's right there on the sheet.
But Jeffrey, really like the number one question he gets asked about like the long tongue. I mean, I would ask like what he eats for breakfast. I mean, there are so many other ones that would come first, surely. How
really?
High can you jump?
I would no. That's like the frog's. That's okay. Jumping maybe, but the tongue is like a frog's number one thing, right?
Okay. Sure.
I'm just saying, if you imagine like the defining aspect of a frog, you know, maybe ribbit. Okay, maybe like do you ribbit? I would put that up there potentially with the tongue thing, but
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. Tongue is number one.
Okay, then.
But hey, if you at home disagree with us, write us at theinspirationalquarterly @gmail.com to tell us what you think the number one question on McBain's Frogman back sheet.
Dear the Inspirational Quarterly, when are you going to read the damn book?
hold on. This is vital contextual information. How are we supposed to understand Nova's state of mind? Because she saw McBain. He was there. Like, didn't he shoot Zeb? Now you're making me remember that he was a real big part of this.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was like the mean one, right?
Gustavo McBain.
Yo, Gustavo.
Yeah. Oh my God, Gustavo McBain.
Yes.
Yeah, he shot. Okay, I'm literally doing this. He shot Zeb and the parents too. Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
They're already dead. But okay, they're already dead when he gets here. But Gustavo McBain does kill Zeb. Okay.
So
what I'm saying is that Nova is going to be thinking about the frog man who killed her brother.
Right.
Right? The motivating factor behind, and again, this is like character development here, the motivating factor behind her wanting to erase her memories is trying to get rid of the frog man who killed her brother, because that is just, you don't want that in
right.
your brain, in your brain space.
For sure. What else is she thinking of? Well, she's thinking of Maya, Natal, Rebecca, Marco, Doris, Yvonne, and all the other servants she killed in her grief. Wait a second, she killed some servants?
She blew up a whole fucking building.
Oh, yeah, she, yeah.
Everyone in the building died.
That is true. But also, like, she's naming these people now, and now I'm like, wow. Yeah. Okay. You're a monster.
But we already did this, right? Like, we did this 200 pages ago.
What do you mean?
You know? Like, she named all these people, or some of these people.
She named several of them. Yeah. But not all of them.
She named several of them.
Okay.
Okay, so it's this number. So once it's, you know, once she names 15 people, then you're like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
Just wait. Yeah, okay.
Ursitti, Manning, Cox, Dion, and the other 70 people Fagin ordered her to kill. God, she killed 70 people. Yeah, it's quite a lot. Jewel, Jojo, and all the other people Fagin killed in front of her. Marcus dying when the Marines destroyed Fagin's building. She needed the voices to stop. Brain panning was the only way it was going to happen. And the only way she'd get that brain panning was to finish her training. One morning, on her way to breakfast, she saw Agent Kalerchian. Right.
Piece of shit. Piece of shit's just watching her all day, every day. Watching her while she sleeps. Watching her while she trains. It's fucking disgusting.
Nova had heard that he had been in a convul chair, but apparently he had moved on to the next stage of healing as he was now walking with bracers on his thighs. It made his steps awkward, but she knew that they were an aid to making his legs work again. Okay, so now he's like a horrible, like, robo man.
He's RoboCop. He's RoboCop.
Agent
I like the idea that I like the idea that leg bracers are enough to make you RoboCop. Like, in his mind, he's like, oh, fuck, yeah, I'm RoboCop now. But he's just got leg bracers, right. You know?
Agent Glurchian, it's good to see you well. She couldn't read his thoughts, as she had already turned on her psi screen.
I like the idea that he's actually not well, and she doesn't know that, because she can't read his mind.
Yeah.
She's, like, blissfully unaware of how, like, bad his thoughts are.
Yeah. Same here, the confad said with a nod. He joined her on the way to the mess hall. She was kind enough to slow down to keep pace with his slower gait. I mean, also, like, that's not really that kind. It's like, if you want to talk to someone, you're gonna have to slow down.
Like a normal person, she just walked at whatever the fuck speed she wanted
to. She starts walking, like, double pace just to get away from him. Like, what the heck?
I think around Malcolm, that's very reasonable.
If you're a normal person, you might do that.
Yeah, right.
I wanted to talk to you before I shipped out. That surprised her, given that he hadn't made a full recovery. You're leaving? There's a report of a teep on the Sacrista mining base. It's low G, so my legs can handle it a little bit better. He chuckled. Okay, like, is he chuckling at, like, the thought of himself, like, floating around?
No, he's chuckling at the next. No. He's chuckling at the next sentence.
Okay. And I have got to get out of here. I spent 6 months spinning my wheels looking for you, then another 6 months sitting in that damn chair. I need to get my ass back out in the field, and apparently His Holiness has decided that I'm still worthy of being a wrangler. Oh, so he's chuckling at the fact that he's like,
and I have got to get out of here.
Right? Yeah, he's like, this is like a complete hellhole of a place.
Yeah. Which is the place Nova has to continue living. So that's kind of a shitty thing to say,
a
right?
A little bit mean.
Yeah. But that's our Malcolm.
I know.
Dickbag.
What would you have done?
Don't worry. One day the ghosts of Christmas past are going to show him how to not be such a shithole.
Yeah, obviously. But that will be quite a while. You know, he's going to have to wait for that one to happen to him. When the AIs descend upon him. What would you have done if Emperor Mengsk had decided not to keep you? Clouded look came over Kalerchian's face, and Nova found herself switching off the psi screen for a second. Very sneaky. I sure as hell... This coffee tastes like crap. Hope they don't have waffles. Why would she look at me again? Mengsk wants me dead. Swear I will murder... One of these days, Hartley is just going to have to die. I mean, die, really. Somebody, if I have, really slowly, to eat another waffle. That's his thoughts. There you go.
You listeners at home can't tell this, but the book has bolded the sentence, Mengsk wants me dead. So we know that that's Malcolm thinking that. But I like the idea that Malcolm is also the one fixated on the waffles.
Yeah. He's just really into waffles.
He's just really, yeah. Or what if it's Shitty Billy thinking that?
Maybe. Could be.
But waffles are good. Like, that's a thought that Shitty Billy wouldn't have, right? Because
that's a good opinion. Probably Shitty Billy isn't, he doesn't have that opinion. Shitty Billy is like, you know. He's thinking, you know, like Jack in the Box is a good meal, you know.
But what if this is the beginning of Shitty Billy's Christmas redemption story, right?
It could be.
That's the thing. He could be on his way to hit the first of his five easy steps that he wrote about in his book to being a better person, right?
Right. And he has his first waffle. That's the first step.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Clerchian recovered and lied. I'd just get a job as a cop somewhere. I was a good detective under Sosonus.
No, you weren't.
Like, why are you so delusional?
It's not just that he's delusional. Everyone else is delusional, too. Everyone else calls him a good detective.
I know. He's so terrible. I was a good detective on Tarsonis. I could be one somewhere else, man.
Somewhere else with lower standards.
Somewhere else is just like, yeah, like, I hope that he gets a job somewhere else and they're like, who sent us this turd?
Yeah, right. I like that. Yeah, exactly. Tarsonis is so shitty compared to everywhere else in the universe. He's like, you know who Malcolm is? Malcolm is like the kid in your neighborhood who's better at Smash Brothers than all the other kids in the neighborhood, right?
Right.
And he's like, oh man, I kick ass at Smash Brothers, you know? My Link is just off the hook. And then he's like, I'm going to go to the national championship because that's how fucking good I am. And he goes and he gets his ass demolished, right?
Yeah.
Like he's that guy. He's that guy who thinks he's hot shit because he's better than the neighborhood kids.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, because he's like a big fish in a small pond kind of deal, right?
He's like a tiny fish in a minuscule pond.
Frog pond.
Yeah. frog pond. Is a frog pond, is that a thing? Is that a real thing?
I think so. I don't know. Nova understood. This was a dangerous mission. One the Emperor didn't expect Kalerchian to return from. If he did by some miracle, then Mengsk might reconsider his decision. I'm never going to see him again, she thought as she turned the size screen back on. He deserved his privacy, and he obviously wanted to keep up a brave face for her. But even if he survived
for her, what's this for her? Don't give me that shit. It's not for her.
That's weird.
She's about to have her memory wiped. She's literally about to forget everyone she's ever met.
Yeah.
In like 2 days, she's not gonna know who you are. You can say whatever the fuck you want to her right now, Malcolm.
Yeah. But even if he survived this mission, when she was brain panned after this was all over, she wouldn't remember him.
There you go.
Thank you for everything, Agent Kalerchian. Everything being nothing, Nova. He has given
nothing.
You nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Not a single goddamn thing. The one thing he did was walk into the room where Fagin was.
After an extremely long period of time.
Well, and that's the everything that could just be the everything that she's referring to there. You know? Thank you for all of the times that you walked into a room where I was.
Right. He smiled.
Just like you did just now. When we talked, that was another great instance of
remarkable
Kalerchian
move.
His
only move, in fact. He smiled.
His Malcolm's signature move is Nova appearing miraculously in front of him.
Right. He smiled. It's Mal. Oh, that's so nice. She gets to call him by his first name for about 10 seconds. She smiled back, but you hate the name Malcolm. That got chuckled. Hence my preference for Mal. In any case, it didn't really do anything for you.
Yes, thank you, Malcolm. Thank you. Yes, you finally get it. You didn't do anything.
So why did he previously say he was good at his job on Tarsonis? Like, God, this guy is delusional.
That's so true. He literally said that five paragraphs ago. I was a good detective on Tarsonis. Fast forward. I didn't really do anything for you.
You saved me, Mal. I'll always be grateful to you for that. She hesitated. Well, okay, I'll be grateful to you until my training's done. Fair enough. He held out a hand. She grabbed the hand and pulled him into a hug. Thank you, Mal. I mean it. You did save me. Glad I could do it for somebody. Nova wondered what he meant by that. Then she remembered Tarsonis and just nodded into his shoulder. Suddenly she broke the hug and looked into his scared brown eyes.
What he meant by that was, I have never actually helped a human being in the entirety of my job.
God.
I have never done a thing that was a net benefit in the life and livelihood of any person that has ever encountered me.
Oh, dear. She broke the hug and looked into his scared brown eyes. Okay. You want to join me for breakfast? Oh, here's the waffle situation.
Oh.
He opened his mouth, closed it.
That's what he's been working up to this the whole time.
I know.
He's been just like, get me into those waffles, baby.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. They went into the mess hall together. It was the one and only time in all her 2.5 years at the academy that Nova was ever late for her morning session. Malcolm! Why have you done this? He's just a curse.
Well, she's about to have her memory wiped, so,
that's true.
You know.
She won't remember that it was him.
Who gives a shit?
How
do they selectively do this so that she remembers all of her training moves, but not other stuff?
Here's an interesting aside. So, you know the Bourne Identity and all those, like, books and movies
and
stuff?
Yeah.
So that whole, the whole premise of that relies on the fact that if you forget who you are, you can still remember how to do things that you learned in your past,
yeah,
right? And neurologists have said that that is blatantly, like, that cannot happen. Because who you are is actually in the part of the brain that tells you how to do things, such as physical skills, right? So if you forget who you forget how to do martial arts.
Well, here's an idea. Yeah. Here's an idea, though. Let me run this by you. What about this? If you forget who you are, it frees up space in your brain for things like kung fu.
Right.
It's like Daredevil, you know, the superhero where he loses his eyes and then all of his other senses get super, super good.
Right.
It's like that, but for your name, you know?
Right.
If you forget your name, then it makes everything else, you're like, oh yeah, now I can do jujitsu really good or whatever, right? And that's how Jason Bourne works.
Yeah, but you still have to learn it.
We don't know why this works with the human brain, but as soon as you forget your name, instantly, bam, kung fu. Right?
Right.
It's a mystery of nature, but that's how it works. It's because your name brain section is right next to the kung fu section.
What are you even talking about now in the name brain section?
It's in the part of the brain where your name is stored, right? And then the part of your brain where kung fu is stored, they're like right next door to each other. So it's like if you suck out the main part, then the kung fu part naturally expands.
Over. Right, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Or you weaken the name part, and then the kung fu part, like, assimilates it.
Okay,
you
literally,
you know,
never have a name ever again. Like, the kung fu part just takes up the name part. You have to be nameless for the rest of your life.
Like, if someone gives you a name, well, no. Okay, this is, remember the part of the remember the part of the Jason Bourne films where they try not to tell him his name because if they do, it'll make him worse at kung fu? That was like half the second movie was that one plot point.
Well, anyway, it's going on here. That's what's happening right here, is that they're like going to teach Nova all these things, and then they're going to take her name away from her so that she can become Jason Bourne.
They're going to make her really, really good at kung fu, and then they're going to weaken the name brain part. And then all the kung fu bit is just going to, like, absorb it and become massive,
right?
You know?
Just massive. Massive kung fu brain. Sergeant.
Again, this is just science, all right? This is just science. I'm just
just
relating to
science.
you. I'm just relating to you what we've already learned about the human brain.
Well, I'm glad we did a science because, we don't do many sciences on this podcast. So.
Maybe, okay, here, think about this.
Right.
Maybe the reason that our McAllister, McLean, McBain, Frogman keeps changing his name is to free up space for Kung Fu. Right?
Right.
So he doesn't want to lose all of his name, but he loses half of it. So he keeps the mk, but cuts out the rest of it, and then he gives that part of the name brain over to Kung Fu.
Oh,
Right?
yes.
And
See?
then he gets, yeah.
It's full circle now. That's how we
Right,
did it.
right,
Yep.
right, right, right. And that's every time he does that, he gets a little bit better at Kung Fu,
Right.
you know?
Yeah, because McAllister's a lot of letters.
And
So
then on
once
the
you
other
erase
side,
all of those letters, right,
right,
that's quite a large
right,
space to take up.
right, right,
And then if
right,
you put
right.
McLean, it's a bit smaller, right? McBain even
Exactly. He had
smaller.
to, yeah. Well, McBain, he kind of fucked that one up. He definitely could have
Could
gone
have gone
smaller.
like
He could have
McBain.
got a lot smaller than that. But here's the other thing. And again, this is just science, is that on the other side of the kung fu part of the brain is the am I human or am I frog part of the brain, right? The part of your brain that you use to remember if you're a human or a frog. And so by freeing away some of that space as well, that's just more for kung fu, right? So his name reduction and frog DNA, like all of this is just kung fu, develop cultivation here, right? Yep. It makes sense to me. It makes sense, is all I'm
Good.
saying.
Okay. Sergeant Hartley said, "Arrive late and you'll be late." One of his infamous aphorisms before making her do 50 push-ups as punishment. But it was worth it. There we go.
I'm sorry. Can we back up a second? Sergeant Hartley said, "Arrive late and you'll be late."
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I literally don't know what that means. Arrive late and you'll be late. One of his famous aphorisms.
Yeah, I mean, he probably doesn't really understand like sayings. He's like, he's just, I don't know. It sounds like something that Keith would write in order to demonstrate how much of an asshole this guy is.
Well, this is the same world where the Annihilators were the military men whose big pep chant was, "Who's the best? We are. Who's the best? We are."
I feel like Keith is like the king of writing like these dumb guys, right? Like you're just like the simplest answer is the one that we're gonna choose,
This is up there with other famous Sergeant Hartley quotes, such as, "When you fight, you're fighting." And either you shoot the gun or you don't shoot the gun. These are all kind of like wartime pieces of advice
Or
that
like,
Hartley has picked up over the years.
you either shit or you don't do a shit.
When it
That's
comes to
one of the
shitting, there's only two outcomes.
You shit or you don't shit.
You shit or you don't shit. Okay? There's the as the only two ways it can go. It can't go another way. And then this is where Hartley kind of like leans into the new recruit and with fire eyes goes like, "You hear me, rookie? There's only two ways."
Yep, he seems like a guy.
Sergeant Hartley's
guy.
Sergeant Hartley's a man.
He is a guy and a man.
Sar
A man and a
Sergeant
guy.
Hartley. Sergeant Hartley is a man
He's a
guy.
man guy.
You know who he isn't? A frog.
He's not a
And the fact
frog.
that he knows he's not a frog just means less brain for kung fu
Well,
for Sergeant Hartley.
Harley is an English last name, so therefore he can't be part of the McBain clan, can he? So possible.
Well, thank you, Sergeant Hartley, for that arrival for arrive late and you'll be late.
Yeah, good job.
That good job. I'm serious. No, I like I'm actually like I really want to know. We have to ask Keith what the idea behind arrive late and you'll be late is.
You're just
I'm gonna
writing that
write
down.
that down.
Oh
Yeah,
my
I'm writing that
goodness.
down. Is this
So
well, that's the end of
we are,
chapter.
yeah, we are on to the epilogue next episode.
Jesus Christ,
Imagine
weird.
us ending
Wow.
this book ever. What,
So that was chat that was chapter 19. So next will be the epilogue.
right.
Okay, hang on. I'm gonna look ahead. So I'm not looking at the contents, but 304 is the last page of this book, and we are on page 294.
Oh,
So
jeez.
we have 10 pages to go
Dang.
before StarCraft Ghost Nova is done. Of course, at the rate we've been reading, it will be 3 months before we finish. But we're close. We're close. We're
We're
pretty
pretty
close. How's
close. Do you think
how's
what's
that
gonna
make you feel?
happen at the at like once we finish reading this book? Like coronavirus is like going to mysteriously disappear. Just completely disappear. No one ever sees it ever again.
Hold on now. Are you saying that we have been like holding COVID in stasis? By
We've been
reading this book?
artificially sustaining COVID this entire time.
The horrific toxic energy of this podcast
We have been like
has
the
been
harbingers of
polluting Earth.
death and just like not realizing it. Just,
But in my
yeah.
defense, I did want to watch Family Guy all of those times, so it was necessary, is all I have to
Coronavirus
say.
or Family Guy? Coronavirus or
Yeah,
Family Guy?
you decide
Yeah.
which would you rather
Which would you
do.
rather have?
I guess next time we start with the epilogue and then we see where it goes. Like, you realize that at one point there's going to be an episode where we finish the book, like in the middle of the episode, right? Like, what are we going
What
to
are we gonna
do?
do?
I asked you that question.
I don't know. I'm actually starting to get like fearful of seeing no more pages. As I turn the pages in this book, I'm like, this ca like I hope this is not the last page.
Here's what I would say. I think we should finish the book, and then what if after we finish the book, we do like a wrap-up episode, basically? Some sort of reflections, remembrances, in loving memory, that kind of thing. We can talk, we can look back and reflect and discuss the journey that we went on. And if listeners want to write in to us, talk about parts that stood out for them or things that they remember or overarching theories that tie everything together, whatever. We can read those, we can talk about it, and we can kind of do a big wrap up.
Yeah.
And then after that, we can reach out to Keith and see if he wants to come on for like one final episode to talk about it all.
Yeah. Okay.
How's that sound?
That sounds great. Do you know that, like, Keith knows karate?
Yes. So we can ask him about the about about using your brain to learn judo.
Like what if he could give up his name to learn more kung fu? Would he do it? Like, people just couldn't remember your name. You don't know your name. No one has seen a record of your name. But you're just really good at kung fu.
It's not a theoretical, because again, this is how science works.
Yeah.
So just to be clear about that, but we can pose that question to him. If you could give up your name to master kung fu, would you?
He's just like coming on to be insulted by the level of our questions, isn't he?
if he wasn't already insulted by the first time that we had him onto the podcast, I think we're probably fine.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly right? do think that he was like pretty good at answering the question. So, yeah.
No, he was great. Like, he totally answered everything. The thing was, he had legit answers to everything. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll bet, I don't know what it is, but I'll bet you he has a legit answer to if you could give up your name to learn kung fu, would you? I'll bet he does. And I'll bet you want to bet money? I'll bet money that he has a legit answer to the question.
What on earth? Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you all for listening. If you at home have any idea
what the hell we're doing, please.
If you know what we're doing, but also more confoundingly, if you know what Sergeant Hartley saying, arrive late and you'll be late, if you know what that means, please email us at theinspirationalquarterly@gmail.com and let us know, because I do want to know. I think that's it. Is there anything else for today, Kara?
That's it. That's all, folks.
I'm editing that out for copyright.
Oh.
We don't want to come this close to the end and then, you know, get the podcast sued off the internet.
Is Porky the Pig gonna stab me? He's going to come to my house and stab me.
I enjoy the idea that this was finally the moment where copyright broke us. after our merging of every film in existence into one shared story. This is the time. All right, time to get out of here.
All right, thank you, Keith.
Shall we do it again next week?
Let's do it again next week.
All right, sweet. Thanks, Keith, and thank you at home. See you next time. Until then, here's the warp drive.